My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max for your business with our best offer yet. 5G nationwide. Available in over 1,800 cities. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, December 23rd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. For years, regulators have been locked in disputes with startups over how to oversee cryptocurrencies. On today's episode, we break down how a lawsuit against one of the space's biggest players fits into that back and forth. Our reporter Paul Vigna has been following this, and he'll join us to break it down after these headlines. Yesterday, President-elect Joe Biden promised a forceful response to the suspected Russian hack of the federal government, which involved corrupting a software update provided by the company SolarWinds. Biden faulted the Trump administration for its response and said he saw, quote, no evidence that it is under control. Here he is speaking at a press conference in Delaware yesterday.
Enough's enough. In an age when so much of our lives are conducted online, cyber attacks must be treated as a serious threat by our leadership at the highest levels. We can't let this go unanswered.
Biden declined to elaborate on the details of his administration's planned response, saying he didn't want to telegraph options to the adversary. Trump has said the news media is exaggerating the hack's severity. Russia has denied responsibility for the attack. Tesla CEO Elon Musk said yesterday that he once approached Apple CEO Tim Cook about the possibility of Apple buying the electric vehicle company. Musk said Cook refused to take that meeting. Apple didn't immediately respond to requests for comment, but the news comes after Reuters reported earlier this week that Apple was working to produce self-driving electric cars by 2024, possibly with its own battery technology. And we're exclusively reporting new details from an antitrust lawsuit filed last week by 10 states against Google. The suit, as filed, was heavily redacted. Now, The Wall Street Journal has reviewed an unredacted version of the suit, which revealed an agreement between Facebook and Google to cooperate and assist one another if they ever faced an antitrust investigation into their pact to work together in online advertising. The lawsuit accuses Google of running an illegal monopoly in digital advertising and enlisting Facebook in an alleged deal to rig ad auctions. A spokesperson for Google says these kinds of agreements over antitrust threats are extremely common. Facebook and Google both dispute the allegations in the lawsuit. All right, coming up after the break, how the SEC's dispute with one cryptocurrency company fits into a broader debate about how to regulate digital currencies. That's next.
My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max for your business with our best offer yet. 5G nationwide. Available in over 1,800 cities. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is suing the cryptocurrency pioneer Ripple, claiming the company violated investor protection laws when it sold a digital asset it created called XRP. The suit is one of the SEC's most high-profile actions against a cryptocurrency company, and it fits into a broader debate over how to regulate these kinds of digital currencies. Our reporter Paul Vigna has been following this, and he joins me now to explain. Hey, Paul, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
So I want to start by backing up a little bit here. Can you just start by telling us a little more about Ripple and its cryptocurrency XRP?
In a lot of respects, it resembles Bitcoin. It's designed to allow people to exchange value over any distances. As long as you're on the internet, two people can directly exchange value. It's much like Bitcoin. It's supposed to move fast and cheap. Where it is different than Bitcoin and where the Securities and Exchange Commission is coming into play in this is that Bitcoin was created as an open source software project. Anybody can join that project. Nobody controls it. Bitcoins are created as a function of just how the software runs. XRP is different. XRP was created by a group of people who also founded a company called Ripple. In the initial iteration of them, the token, the XRP, was called Ripple. So there was Ripple the currency and Ripple the company, and the same group of guys created it. when they created the software program, they created 100 billion of these ripples all at once, and they gifted them, you know, that's how they describe it. They gifted them to the company. So the company over the years, since it was founded in 2012, has been distributing these XRP tokens. They periodically sell them out into the public.
And the SEC has actually sued Ripple over this piece. So why is it a concern?
Right. What the Securities and Exchange Commission has been concerned about for going on 3 years at least in terms of the digital currency market is that you have companies creating what are essentially unregistered securities. And this gets into a complicated test that the SEC developed decades ago and is perfecting. But if you are a company and you are creating what is essentially a security, equity or something that is equity-like, something that the buyer of it believes or actually has the rights to, some sort of stake in the future fortunes of the company, not necessarily an ownership stake, but if they believe that this endeavor being created by a company is going to enrich them in some way and they buy this asset, you can say that that is a security. So what the SEC has been fighting against for the past couple of years are crypto startups that have been coming up with an idea for a product or a platform or a service or something, and then creating a token to go along with that as a capital raising measure, as a funding measure. Securities and Exchange Commission doesn't like that. They are tasked with protecting investors. So they have filed a bunch of these civil suits over the last couple of years. And it's important to point out that they're not alleging fraud. All they are saying is that you are selling an unregistered security. There might be some fine that comes along with that, but the ultimate outcome of that would be that you would probably pay a fine and then you would have to register your security with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
How does Ripple respond to that?
Ripple has been arguing that XRP is not a security, that they do not control it, that the people buying it do not think of it as a security, that they certainly are not getting any kind of ownership stake in the company, and that this is really just a currency that goes out there.
So how does this suit compare to the other suits the SEC has filed?
It's very similar to a lot of the rest, and I think that's a problem for Ripple, whether they want to admit it or not. What's interesting is that the SEC has basically said that the two largest cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and Ether, are not securities. And that's really because of how the networks were created and how the tokens themselves are still created and circulated. That kind of puts them off to the side in one bucket. And then you have everything else off to the other side in a much larger bucket. Ripple is trying to argue that XRP belongs in the Bitcoin Ether bucket. The SEC is not sure. And now what the SEC is saying is, you know, no, you belong in the unregistered securities bucket.
And it seems like this back and forth fits into a broader dispute between regulators and these sorts of emerging cryptocurrencies over how they should be handled.
Right. No, that is an excellent point. That is really true. This is something that, on the one hand, you have the cryptocurrency industry saying, hey, we have created something brand new here. You cannot apply your old, you know, analog rules to it. We need to come up with some new framework for how these things are legalized and standardized. And on the other side, you have the SEC saying, you know what? You guys are waving your hands a lot over there and talking a lot of jargon, but actually it's very simple. And these old rules do apply. And we are going to look at every single one of these, apply our old rules and determine whether or not this is a security and whether or not it needs to be registered with us if you want to sell it in the United States to investors. So that really is what's been going on the past couple of years. What's interesting about this case is that Ripple is one of the biggest companies in the sector. It has about a $10 billion valuation. And XRP is the third largest cryptocurrency by market cap. So this now becomes a really big sort of precedent-setting case.
So it seems like a lot of the debate over how to regulate cryptocurrencies is based on how they fit into regulatory definitions that actually predate the cryptocurrencies themselves. Is there any push to rewrite or update regulations for a world in which cryptocurrencies do exist?
Yes, Bitcoin and all these cryptocurrencies are, you know, what regulators are trying to do is figure out how old rules apply to this new technology and this new product and service and industry. And you have had a sort of a range, even going outside of the U.S., you have had a range of responses from lawmakers and regulators. In Japan, they wrote an entirely new set of laws and passed them for codifying how Bitcoin should be treated. In the United States, you have had a more of a piecemeal approach. You've had a lot of different government agencies trying to figure it out on their own. You have had some members of Congress over the past really 4 or 5 years even, you have had more and more members of Congress getting up to speed on this. And there are actually a lot of bills in Congress right now trying to address various aspects of this. None of them have gotten to the point where they've been passed into law, but one of them might. And eventually you could have a situation where Congress does come up with some new laws and some new rules that would govern cryptocurrencies. That hasn't happened yet. So what you end up having is this sort of hodgepodge where you have all the different federal regulatory agencies, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Internal Revenue Service, Treasury Department, as well as state regulators, especially state banking regulators, sort of coming up with their, you know, sort of applying their existing rules on their own and trying to figure out how to manage all this. And, you know, if you're in the crypto industry, you have lived with that, but you hate it because it just makes your life a lot harder. But I think what they long ago realized was that if you ever want to have cryptocurrencies as a sector, as an industry, as a product, as a currency, as a service, if you ever want to have that become part of the mainstream and you want to have a lot of users, you are going to have to engage with these regulators.
All right, our reporter Paul Vigna, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.